Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some Vikings football. I mean, what else are we going to talk about, right? The things, you know, listen to the title. Anyway, if you, well, we won't use Google. We'll go back to dictionary. Does dictionary do phrasing? Anyway, if you looked up, however you did it, if you looked up, a win is a win. The phrase, a win is a win. This would fall right there. I mean, it's the most unexcited win I think that we've had in quite some time, especially the dramatics. We finally kick a field goal at the end to actually win it, not just tie. But it was a mess. It was a mess how we got to the point where we were down with under 40 seconds to play. You know, that was crazy. It's just nuts. So we are going to obviously recap this year game, talk about some of the conservative play call, at the end of the second quarter and really throughout the fourth quarter, just in general, the second half slumps on offense. The defense actually is the one that's shining in the second half. The offense, not so much. It's kind of crazy how much, you know, we just kind of get away from what we were doing. And of course, the defense, sure, they're making adjustments, but it's just crazy. But other than that, offensively, we had our issues, but it felt okay. Defensively, man, they just gouged us in the run again. But when you look at the point total, it's really not that crazy. So we're going to talk this through this here Lions victory, which how many people at home really thought we were going to win that game once they scored after the fumble? I mean, that was, I was just like sitting there slumped down like, this is actually going to happen. This show's going to be 20 minutes. Rant, the show's over. That's what it would have been. But here we are. We did get the victory. It doesn't feel like it. So we're going to, you know, obviously start with the recap, work our way through that stuff, and then preview the road game at Carolina. And then like we normally do at the end of the show, we do have a Gophers football segment. They got a big game coming up against Nebraska. So that's how we'll end. If this is your first time listening to this year Vikings podcast, the Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. It's available in a whole lot of places. You can stream it live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope a Dope. You can find Rope-A-Dope on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM. Tune in and a variety of other places. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And last year, Aaron started a page. Okay, it's called Living in Loserville. It's on Spreaker. So go check that out. It's Vikings, of course, Gophers stuff, Timberwolves stuff. You know, as the winter comes and we're done with Vikings football. There's also some podcasts of his that he does personally. That's Living in Loserville on the Spreaker page. One more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. Prices start as low as $69.99 a month. The best of live TV and on demand. No annual contract. No hidden fees. If you upgrade to the Choice or Ultimate, that'll give you 3 months of HBO Max. Plus, you can enjoy regional sports networks with no additional fees. And if you go all the way to the Premier Package, you get Showtime and HBO Max already included in the price. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, and seeing how he's doing on this nice fall day. But there is a little crisp in the air now that we're well into October.
Surprisingly far into October. So what was that we saw yesterday? It was a game of ups and downs, and you know, the way that game ended, you're right. I think a lot of us just kind of accepted a loss and just said, well, this is definitely not going the way it's supposed to go. And, you know, again, it was the last 2 minutes of the game, and you know, Man Campbell goes for two, and they successfully get the two, and you're like, okay, you know, we've seen ourselves in last minute drives many times that be unsuccessful, although this year that's been a little bit more successful. And you just saw the way the ball was rolling, just didn't look good. And You know, when Joseph lined up for that kick, my hopes were not high. I really didn't think he was going to make that kick, but he did. And we squeaked out a victory. But, it, you know, if it had been against any other team, you might have been a little bit happier. But this is sort of a moral victory, I guess, even though it is a victory.
Yeah, it's funny because if you look at it, it could have been, well, 16-6 or 19-6 if we, you know, made that field goal, or I guess you could say like 20 if we finished one of those drives in the second half. And you're thinking, oh, we got a 10 or 13, 14, sorry, Common, you know, point win. Vegas had us by 10 by the time the game kicked off. That's okay. We would have had some minor complaints. We're giving up too much run. We're being too conservative. But we would have felt just differently. You know, it would have been just a mix of stuff, some negativity, but not a whole lot. But we just had to do it the Viking way and just make it so damn ugly down the stretch. It was just like, what the hell? And let's start by talking about some of the conservative play calling at the end of the second quarter. You know, you have plenty of time. You have 40 seconds, two timeouts, and there's really no point in not trying to go get a field goal. Now, touchdown's great, but, you know, when you're under a minute, just getting a field goal is like, hey, dude, especially when we're about to get the ball in the second half, too. What'd you think of the play calls and just the, forget it. We already got the ball coming. You know, who even cares about what happens here at the end of the second quarter with 40 seconds left, two timeouts?
Well, you go back to like other quarterbacks and other teams. You think Rodgers would sit on the ball with, you know, 40 seconds left and two timeouts at the end of the half? It goes back to this really conservative style that, you know, we've kind of harped on a little bit, but I think we're going to get more into it. It's, you know, you can't play not to lose in this league and expect to be successful. You have to be aggressive. You have to go, even if you want to run the football. You know, you can't just sit on it time and time again. I can't count how many times it's, you know, take 50 seconds into halftime, or, you know, it just never. Now, I know they've been having troubles at the end of halves, and if you want to put the defense back on and blah, blah, blah. I get all that stuff too, but have a little faith in a screen game or a rollout or something, a reverse we even talked about a little bit, or, you know, flea flick or something. You know, to try to be a little bit more aggressive. And like you said, get in field goal range, if not get a touchdown, and not just sit on the ball for 40 seconds. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, but it's one of those things that you see so many times, you just come to expect it.
It wasn't 24-3. You know what I mean? We weren't dominating the game clearly. Like, we had it in hand, no problem. Who cares? I got an issue with it. And it's so funny because then when we need to do it, boom, wide open. In the field, and boom, like we were just going, you know. And it's crazy because I think it was Courtney Cronin that asked the question, and, you know, we haven't been down and out like a lot of people on Zimmer and acting like he's a shitty coach or just an okay coach. He's a pretty damn good coach. We can't say he's a great coach yet. We, you know, great defensive coordinator he's been, and obviously guru with the corners. We get that. Look at Patrick Peterson this year. But, like, you know, she asked the question, and it was like, now that I hear your answer, I'm even more kind of pissed here. You know, I mean, to sit there and be like, I shouldn't have to say this, but here we go. Well, maybe, you know, that old saying that if you're, you know, sometimes your mom says, if you don't got anything good to say, don't say it. It was kind of like, well, we haven't had success, like you talked about. We haven't had success in the, you know, in the close of second quarter, so we figure we'll see what we get on first down, if not. I just think that's ridiculous. And when you look at it, just the last 2 minutes of the second quarter, going in half, of course, and then the last 2 minutes of games, we forced overtime and were basically very close in overtime, as we know, before Cook fumbled. We were well in, you know, we're getting in range. So those are two drives right there that were clutch. We set up a game-winning field goal in the clutch moments. We obviously know we missed it. Last, you know, we had 38 seconds left, two timeouts, and we freaking score a field goal and win the game. So to sit there and, like, you're blocking your player's almost development, and it's really not development, but it's kind of like, what are we doing here? Last year, yeah, we were better in the second quarter closing than we were in the fourth quarter, but I don't get the sense of that. There's no analytics to it. There's just like it doesn't make any sense to me to sit there and be like, well, we've had a little issue, so I don't want to do that again. Well, why not? Like, we know we got the weapons. We know, get the ball out 3 or 4 yards and see what Jefferson can do with it. It did make it worse when he actually explained why he didn't do it.
Yeah, and it's getting really close to the vest now. It's like, Zimmer, really? Are you going to give us that reasoning when, you know, you don't have – even if you want to run the football, Chris, take a couple shots running the football. Even at the end of the game, setting up for the field goal, you could have clocked the ball 4 or 5 seconds earlier, and you just see Kirk sitting there waiting for the clock to run down so they can pull, you know, bring out the field goal kicker, who's not exactly 100%. It's like, well, you know, you could take those 4 seconds, try to get another 6 yards, another 5 yards, something like that. And it's just like, you're almost playing, like I said earlier, like not to lose. And I see it. Maybe you've been burned a few times and Zimmer, you know, it's stuck in his head and all that, but that's really no excuse. And I think you're right about not having faith in your players. I mean, if you can't trust your guys to finish out a half with 40 seconds and 2 timeouts left, it's like, well, you know, what does that tell them? That, you know, okay, Zimmer'd rather just go into the halftime than give us a chance to score a touchdown. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, I know he's going to stick to his guns because that's, you know, part of what he does. But at the same time, it's like, how many times are we going to watch this? I know Denny did that a little bit way back in the day. It kind of drove people nuts. But now Zimmer's doing it, and it's like, well, you know, you can't be so risk aversive in this league and try to be successful. Like, you know, you do that within the draft. Spielman's, you know, on the hot seat for that. It's like, you know, you take a guy because he's a nice guy instead of a top player. And so you have a great locker room full of nice guys. And it's like, well, okay, that's great. But where's the talent? Where's the breakthrough talent? Where is it? And obviously you have some of that on the field with Jefferson. Thielen's great in those situations, as you showed at the end of the game. You got to use them. And I know your offensive line isn't great, but, you know, you got to be able to trust these guys and go out and do it. Even if they fail, they can learn from failure.
Right, and they kind of have. We've kind of been grinding through this, and we saw a difference. We've mentioned it a couple times this year of the last 8 games last year, how it was like, whoa, they're not stacking the box. You know, they're actually worried about deep. And it's not just – a lot of people are – screaming for deep balls, and I get it. We could, I mean, last year I was saying maybe we shouldn't throw as many deep balls, especially on a 3rd and 2 with Kubiak, and he trusts Kubiak, so it was a little bit more open last year. Now the young Kubiak not fully trusted or whatever, and I know his defense is playing better, Zimmer's, but to me it's just, we've already kind of grinded through this, and I get it. They're playing brackets. They're playing – I'm not saying just, okay, let's go deep, but you can get a 3-step drop and still throw it 17 yards. You know, it's not – so, I mean, I don't know. It's like, if you're worried about pass protection, cool, but it's not like we shouldn't be worried about our run blocking in the fourth quarter either. We don't have that great of a line both ways. They're better at run than pass, but still, it's not some kind of great – you know, we could just burn out the clock all the time. And one first down and that game is over. And that was an issue there. And also the second and long handoffs. A lot of people are like,
I was just going to bring that up.
Just throw a fucking 4-yard pass or something.
Do something. I lost my brain when it was like second and 12 and they hand off to Madison. You're like, okay, you're
after
hoping
just
to get
losing 2 yards, you know.
You're hoping to get 4, and now you're in 3rd and 8. How does that really help you? It really doesn't. Or these short passes on, you know, 3rd and 12, and you throw a check down for 7 yards. Okay, well, you might as well just give up the down. There's really no reason to even play the down if you're gonna not attempt to get the first down. Anyways. That just goes into the conservative play calling that we're talking about. And we did talk a little bit off air about what's probably going down in those quote unquote conversations that Zimmer's having about what their plans are. And you and I both agreed it's probably not a conversation. It's more like, you know, run the ball, you know, and with Kubiak being so young, I think he just defers to Zimmer, and that's how you end up running the ball on 2nd and 12 or, you know, 2nd and 8. It just, you got to take some shots here. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to really fault you for taking shots.
Yeah, and we're 3 and out either way. You know, so I mean, we got like 4-3 and outs anyway. So what's the fucking difference? Oh, you could say the clock. Okay, I get it. And, you know, to an extent there, sure. But you can throw the ball short where you know it's going to be a completion and burn the clock that way and not get any yards too. You know, so I mean, either way, you know, it is what it is. And obviously, you know, it's funny because, like I said, when you're up 16-6 with 4 minutes left, you shouldn't be down 17-6 with 37 seconds left. I mean, we can sit there and say, oh, what the hell are you doing, Mattson, for not going down? He was trying to do his best AP impression and trying to, you know, keep his legs moving and all that. Just go down. Sure, that is his fault. He didn't need to do that, but we were still going to have to punt the ball to him. And it was just that conservative play call, literally just one first down. And also it was 3rd and 4, and we try that direct snap thing. And it's like, here we go. We don't have this, you know, big ass move you around type offensive line. So at 3rd and 4, you're still going to run. You're just going to sugarcoat the run. Like on 3rd and 4, like it's tough. Anyway, we should probably get off. Go ahead.
Well, quickly, everybody says, you know, Zimmer has no, you know, they fault Zimmer for being uninvolved in the offense. Well, here we have an example of how Zimmer is involved in the offense, and I really feel like it limits the offense. I mean, I think he's really just, you know, like you mentioned, like back in the Reagan days, this is not Reagan-era football that's going on in the NFL right now, and I don't think he's that far behind the curve, so that was a bit of an exaggeration. But you can't think that you're going to run against 8-man fronts. You can't, they come in knowing you're going to run on second down. They know your tendencies.
They run blitz all the time.
They run blitz all the time. It's like, okay, they know you, your offensive line can't hold up very well in pass protection. So what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball. And then you continue to just say, run the ball into 8-man fronts and blah, blah, blah. Maybe Cook is good enough to get through those, but Madison's not in the level that Cook is. And so you can't really do that, yet you're telling your offensive coordinator, who might want to run or, you know, pass on 2nd and 12 to pick up 6 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, to no scrap it and run. I mean, there's nobody saying that that's what's happening, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out that, you know, Zimmer's probably switching play calls to runs on the sideline because it feels more comfortable and it rests his defense and blah, 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 but it's getting you nowhere.
I mean, this guy is so conservative. This was the line when we said it right before we started recording the show, that he thinks he's so conservative. Okay. This isn't a politics. It's a politics joke, but not really. He thinks Ronald Reagan actually was the one who stopped communism. You know, he doesn't know Russia, you know, their freaking economy was in the hole. It was trash before, you know, Reagan was even governor. Like, this is how conservative this guy is. It's just getting over the top. But even beyond that, second half, we open up, you know, giving up a sack. Hill, I mean, he didn't have a horrible day last, you know, game, but it wasn't good. It was nice to see Darisaw get in there. I do have probably 10 blocking clips from him that I go, hey, he hit a guy a second time. It wasn't that just initial push. It was like, oh, wow, you know. But when you know, a couple of different has nothing to do with the coordinator or Zimmer. A penalty, you know, two different penalties on Herden. One, you could say, maybe that was bullshit, the Thielen one, but the 3rd and 16, you know, went from a first down inside Lion territory, the second one, and then it was a 3rd and 16. You know, like I said, the Hill sack. Harrison Smith dropped an INT. Thielen actually dropped a first down that stalled a drive. But that Kendricks INT, dude, that was a nasty INT. I did think Cousins played pretty good. There were a couple times early in the game and then later in the game that I thought he was trying to force it into too tight of the window. I think that was the case on that interception that got, you know, bounced up and all that. But we had that 48-yard run, you know, that Mattson, you know, broke that tackle. You know, that's one of those plays you'd be like, oh, Cook would have scored on that. But it was a great – I mean, that was supposed to be a loss. So that was a great play. But then, you know, Cousins, I think after that is the – you know, that's where he got to deflect it up, trying to fit it in there. But it really didn't matter because they still, the defense still stood up and they still got us out and they still were forcing fourth and out and turnover on downs and another turnover. And it was just, like I said, a three and out, a direct snap on third and four. It just, I don't know, dude. You know, actually Breland didn't play that bad beyond that PI, but it was just beyond just the play calling in the second half, the offense, it just still can't get out of its way by making these little minor mistakes too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And, you know, it's one of those things where you can't, it's 50 of each, you know. It's probably a little bit of conservative play calling. It's probably a little bit of bad execution. It's probably a little penalties, you know, which can go into bad execution, I guess you could say. But we went from scoring 30 points in shootouts to now the defense is playing stout and, you know, stout by not giving up points. And now you can't score more than 20 points. It's like, well, are everybody looking at each other like, hey, you go do it. No, you go do it. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. You can still, you know, you get the commentators of the game. I forgot their names, but I think it was Moose, an old school fullback telling you to throw the ball.
Yeah, right.
That is, you know, look, they've got, you know, backup cornerbacks. You've got two of the best wide receivers and you're not throwing the ball. It's one of those things where you just go, well, maybe, you know, you could get Kirk outside the pocket. We talked a little bit about that last week. He's good on rollouts. They did a little bit of that, but they could have went back to it. It seems like he's good on those. You know, there's reverses, there's misdirection. We almost do none of that. It's just, we want to line up and just go head to head with these guys. And that's fine if you got a decent offensive line, but time and time again, they're a better run blocking offensive line than they are a pass blocking offensive line, but they're not a great at either of those things. So you can't really expect to line up and go head to head against these about almost any team in the league. And it's like, well, what are you going to do then? You've got to get creative. And that's where I think it comes in with Zimmer's, like, kind of stifles the creativity a little bit just because he wants to be safe, you know, better safe than sorry type of attitude. And it's like, well, that's not really how you fix anything. I mean, if you have a fear, you go walk into the fear. You don't, you know, try to avoid it. It's one of those things that's just like, okay, well, this is going to compound. I mean, I think they're going to have a breakthrough performance at some point where the offense scores 30 and the defense gives up 7 or 14 points. But, you know, when is that going to come? And is it going to be a fleeting thing or is it something you can count on? And we're just kind of all waiting to get there. You know, it's not all for naught, but you got to get complimentary football going at some point in time. And it just hasn't come yet.
Especially against a team that has the winning record or is 500. Will that come? Will it come against a 3-2 team that we're about to face? We definitely need it to. But it was 16-6. You know, looked like we were going to get off the field. Griff had that, you know, hands to the face again. But then again, it didn't matter because Hunter came back and got a sack. DJ won and got a sack. Turnover on downs. Joseph hit a beautiful right down the pipe 49-yard field goal. Just fell like a foot short or whatever. Then it was 16-9, you know, with that field goal. And then we, like I said, we fumbled and it was just, I gotta admit, I thought we were done. But, you know, even like a DD in Abdullah not getting back to the 20-yard line, let the ball go then. Call the fair catch thing. We don't need to lose this time. A couple weeks ago, we ran out of bounce near the end of a game. Like, it just seems like these little mental errors are just piling up on us this season way more than it has. And that just, it has to be fixed. And, you know, why not fix it right now? You know, why not get it done this weekend? It was good to have Barr back. You know, it's not like he played great, but I did see early on in that game, maybe when he was fresh, because he did say he was pretty tired after a while, but he did make a couple of tackles that I hadn't seen. Like the first tackler, he made it. Like I mentioned, that Kendricks, that INT was crazy. We got Darisai in there. And, you know, the defense, like you said, it's a bend that don't break. And if we can get Pierce back, you know, this bye is coming at a good time because yeah. I don't know if Pierce is going to play this week, but if he doesn't play this week and then have another week, you know, that's 2-3 weeks right there and almost a almost a month, actually, because this last game he didn't play. So I think hopefully anyway that that gives us enough time, and it also gives enough practice time and, you know, stamina and all that for Darrisaw and Barr. So we did talk about how if we could be 2-2 or 3-3 right around this break and get Barr and Darrisaw, then we might get something going. Any other items that you'd like to discuss off of this victory that sure didn't feel like a victory?
Well, you got to talk about the guys, like you said, that need the bye, like Darrisaw, Barr, Pierce, maybe Barr for conditioning. And then of course, Dalvin Cook. I mean, you got to have him back.
I didn't even mention him. Yeah.
I mean, he's got, that's the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak. So, I mean, you have to have these parts coming back. Now, this Carolina game, you know, I thought about it for most of the day, you know, the negatives and the positives about it. Yeah, you're 3-3. That's perfect, man. A brand new season coming out of the bye. That sounds really great. But, you know, you're on the road, and I got to say I lost a lot of faith in this team's ability to close anything. When the Lions get away with what they got away with, and you're at home, it just really makes it difficult for you to go, yeah, well, you know, our defense will go down there and stop. Yeah, they might stop them until the last 2 minutes of the first half or the end of the game, and then they'll give up 14 or something like that because they're tired or they want to go see what's going on at halftime or check their phones or whatever it is that gets them so riled up at the end of halves. But, you know, Carolina's not a crappy team. They're a good team, probably better than their record shows. And I feel like we're a team that's not as good as our record shows. And, you know, and you go on the road. Now, the Viking teams tend to sometimes play better on the road than they do at home. You know, maybe less nerves on the road or more carefree spirit or something like that. But it's going to be tough. And it's a game. It's not a must win, but it's a game you really want to have, like you said, to go 3-3 into the bye. And you don't want to go into the bye, as Denny said, on a loss. So, you know, it is sort of a big game. You got Darnold, who's playing better, and they've got a good defensive line, which is always bad news to us. And I just really don't know where to stand on this game, but I think by the time you're done talking, I'll have something to say about it.
Well, I do want to say a couple of things, okay? So on a day in which there were 11 missed extra points, the Lions, this is a Lions fan, the Lions run into a kicker, a freaking Viking kicker, who hits two career-long field goals today. That was a tweet from the Lion fan, like a Lion kind of social media influencer or something. But 11 in that Cincinnati-Green Bay game, now they get a little taste of how it is being a Vikings fan, because there was just miss after miss after miss. And speaking of that, though, as far as winning the game, you know, we've won games when it's been tied, right? With last second, we've obviously lost some more on that side. But here's something from Dustin Baker, like I always say, a good follow. Greg Joseph's game-winning kick today was the first time the Vikings have won via walk-off field goal while trailing from a kick since December 2008.
Wow.
And I thought about that. I was like, no. Oh, wait, that's right. We weren't trailing. It was probably tied. And it was a field. Oh, and you start to think, like, man. So that's another thing that in your, you know, if we do get a win and go 3-3, it can, you can start to feel better. Because like you said, 2 weeks ago, we thought, man, I mean, at 1-3, dude, we're a damn good squad here. We're not this, you know, we're way better than our record, Phil. But then you come off of these two lackluster performances, even in, you know, offensively, especially even in a win last week. And it's tougher to, you know, feel that way. What'd you think, though, real quick before we go into it, the preview of the Carolina game? What'd you think of that riling up each other?
Yeah,
looking like bros. They're out there like a fraternity house. And this is the way he explained it when they asked Zimmer about that. He said he came over and said, "You like that?" and grabbed him, shoved me back. He said, "It's no different when Bradford tackled me in practice because I was trying to get the same thing out of him." He said, "He grabbed me, pushed me. I pushed him back, and I like that fire. But because, you know, that was a big thing. Like, they were about to fight. Like, Cousins went over there and got his face after a win looking like he was going to fight. What'd you think of that? Because a lot of people have said, I want to see more emotion out of Cousins.
And after watching it a few hundred times, I think that I think there's a lot going on under the surface there that kind of came to the surface. I think I don't know what Kirk said. I kept trying to read his lips, and I'm not sure he said you like that. But
well, there's multiple people that were right there that said the same thing.
Okay, well, if that was it, and he just grabbed him,
and he was smiling when he said,
"Yeah," but his eyes were pretty intense, and I was like, "Oh shit, what's going on here?" And you did see it at the end of the game. Like, I saw it live at the end of the game. I'm like, what the hell's going on there? And then they immediately cut and went to commercial before Zimmer pushed back. But I think it was just one of those things Zimmer's probably thinking in his head that, wow, you know, like, what's going to happen to me after this game? You just, you know, get beat in the last 2 minutes by Detroit at home, and you're not having a great season, and you're already on the hot seat. And he's probably trying to do all the math in his head. He says he doesn't watch kicks, which I don't blame him, but, you know, yeah. So he didn't know that had gone through yet. Now you got Kirk, so he's usually subdued, coming and, you know, hitting him in the chest and grabbing him. He's probably like, what the heck is going on here? You just want a little space, and he's pushed back. But, you know, over the day, I guess I didn't think much of it, but, you know, reading into it a little bit, I thought maybe it was just more of a microcosm of how distant those two are from each other to not be able to, like, even interpret, you know, each other, what was going on. Or maybe, you know, you should know better than to go grab Zimmer, and then Zimmer should know better than, you know, they should have some more, they should be a little bit more comfortable around each other. I think that's what it really shows, is that they just really don't know each other that well at all.
See, I didn't go that most people did go that deep into it, and I get that, but I thought it's exactly what Zimmer said. He said he liked it. That's why he pushed him back. He was like, it took him off guard. So you're right. He was like, and the guy behind him couldn't see Zimmer, so he actually thought Zimmer was mad. But if you look at the three or four other people beside him, one guy was kind of in between, but the rest were smiling because they could hear what Cousins was saying. I didn't see it as this, they're about to fight at all. I thought it was just a funny emotional thing that I didn't think that Cousins went over there and said something to him, especially, like, it'd be one thing if they had lost the game and then they get out in this big tussle after the game. Like, why don't you fucking at the second quarter? Why don't you do that? You know, that'd be different. But I thought people, I mean, nowadays, a lot of people do. It just spreads that the negative aspect of that potentially just spreads quicker. So I get that. But I thought it was kind of funny. And I find it funny that people are like, why would Cousins do that? And it's like, well, dude, it's the same people that were asking for emotion. So it's like, you win some, you lose some. I don't know. I just think it's like, I thought it was actually really funny. I don't look at it any deeper as far as, oh, Cousins is now more of a spark, or the other way too. I just look at it as football, and I thought it was pretty funny. And but anyway, into this Carolina game, you know, it is funny because McCaffrey didn't play last week. This is the week that his hamstring is potentially ready to return. And so, you know, as a Vikings fan, he's going to play the game. Now, it's lucky that, I mean, he returned just in time to face the Vikings, of course. But it is nice that he didn't have at least a weekend. So they may actually give him a little less carries because the dude behind him has actually done something. So, you know, of course, there's that. Shaq Thomas, hopefully he's still out. There are a couple guys. D tackle, hopefully he stays out. You know, from a perspective of us, there is Gilmore, who got hurt a while. This is his first time being to be activated off the list in time for the Vikings, of course. So I'm just assuming McCaffrey is going to play, just because you got to as a Vikings fan. And let's hope, you know, that our guy plays too with Cook, because that would at least equal it out a little bit more. And last year, this was a back and forth game. Speaking of games that we barely, you know, win at the last second, that was last year. They won it like 28-27 at the last second, like a long field goal. And I think they missed the field goal too. It was a wild game. I remember BB got in there. He had a fumble, but then he got that touchdown with like 40 or 30 seconds left or something shit like that. But either way, it was a close-ass game. We were able to pass the you-know-what out of the ball. We weren't able to run that much in that game. We did have Cook for that game. When I look at this, you know, I do think Carolina is pretty good. I think this is a great test on the road. It didn't feel like they're as good as our other two road games. I'll say this, though. They've had – they're 3-2. They've had some – you know, they haven't really – I mean, we don't really know what New Orleans is this year just yet. Houston and the Jets are not what you'd say good teams. Dallas obviously is. Philly's still kind of all over the place. So if you look at their 3-2, but – and if you look at their defense might be a tish overrated. It's a young, good defense. I'm not saying that. But as far as points per game, it might be a tish overrated based off – you know, when you play the Jets in Houston, and to an extent Philly, but especially those two, that's going to help your stats. So I don't know. I think they're pretty damn good, it would seem, but it might have to do this early in the season, only five games in, that they haven't faced, you know, a high-level offense. I'm not calling us that right now either. But I don't think their defense is number one is my point. I think Cleveland's probably better than them, and I guess we'll find out coming up. It is a, you know, Carolina is the home team. They are a 1.5, last time I checked, 1.5-point favorite, which is almost a pick-in game, you know, about 3, 3.5, as we say, when you're the home team you get. So, you know, Vegas kind of thinks that we got a good chance to win on the road. The over-under is 46, and the way our offense has been, the bend that don't break defense has been, I think that's a pretty good number. It may go over. It may go over, but 46 is a pretty damn good number. McCaffrey back, you know, in this prediction, I'm going to predict it like Cook's back because it does make a difference there. But I think this is going to be a good competitive game, but I kind of think the defensive stats, they're not the number one defense based off of some of the offenses that they faced.
It's a good breakdown. I think, you know, you made me think back of last year's game, and, you know, he had the BB fumble, and then, you know, he had to redeem himself at the end with the touchdown. And then you had the two interceptions Kirk threw. But I think they were both picks. No, one was a fumble, sack fumble that got returned by the chin guy. And then there was a pick six by the chin guy. I think they were at the front of the half and then the coming out of halftime, and we were just like, what's going on? But yeah, it was an interesting game last year. We barely won that one. And you know, you make a lot of good points. We've missed McCaffrey for a couple years now. We haven't had to play him, so it's kind of hard to say how he's going to play against his defense. You know, Cook being back or not being back is a big deal. I'm gonna go and predict, I think Vikings lose this one on the road. I think they lose by a lot. I think this is not where the wheels come off, but I think you start to see the conservative play calling and being able to be game planned against, and all that's, you know, is going to add up here. And like you said, Darisaw is going to help. I hope he plays more than Hill does. I mean, I think Hill managed to stay on his feet this game, but you know, that's not saying a whole hell of a lot. So you want to see more Darisaw. Hopefully Cook can come back and play. And then you get a chance to run the football and play old school football like we do. But, you know, McCaffrey can also balance that out. I really think Kendricks is a good antidote to McCaffrey. So I think, you know, let's make that a little closer. I think we lose, but I think we lose by 7 or 3. I think it's closer than you think.
Last year, you know what it was? It was fumble returns. It wasn't pick six. It was fumble returns back to back. I just looked at it because I think we were talking about two separate games, but it was back to back fumble returns. It was 21-10 when you look around like, wait, it was just 10-7. What in the hell just happened? yeah, yeah, I'm looking at it right one. Now. Like, that's right. This is, yep. And they missed a field goal at the end. It was 28-27. Because otherwise we were able to move the ball. I mean, we ran the ball good enough, 96 yards. Cook was 18-61, but like I said, Cousins had a couple scrambles, and it was 96 yards. So that's good enough. And we threw the ball 45 times in that game. And Kirk had 3 touchdowns, no picks, but there was a fumble on somebody. I think Cousins fumbled one too, and back to back scoop and scores. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, where do you stand? Because I know a lot of people out there saying, you know, give Cook this week and the bye to get back to 100%. And I got to say, I'm probably more in that camp. I'd like to see him play, but I like him at 100%. You know, I don't want him at 75 and possibly getting a bad hit and going back down to 50 again. I would like to sit him till the end of the bye. That's where I stand. If you lose, you got to think that if you lose to Carolina, you can maybe make that up after the bye, although I know what the schedule looks like.
Not in the next four games.
Not good, but you got to figure that 100% Cook coming off of some rest is going to be better than an 80% Cook. Where do you want, you pick your poison now or later? It's kind of thing. Where do you stand? You want to play him, or let's say he's 80%, you play him or sit him?
If he's 80%, I play him because even that game that he messed it up and came back in and he had an explosive run to an extent. I feel like this is close to a must win. It's not last week, but it's close because you got to get to 3-3 because it's going to take a lot just to go 2-2 in the next four games. So, and also Cook will have those 2 weeks to rest too. So I'm not saying play him no matter what. It's obviously up, but if he feels like he can play, then I actually would, only because I think it made a legit point, and I wouldn't be pissed if they don't play him because obviously that means he still needs a little time. That I get what you're saying, but the fact that we'd have those 2 weeks right after the game is the only reason why I'm looking at it a little differently. Besides, you know, the upcoming four schedule, 2-2 through that's going to be a grind. So that's the only reason why I say if Cook feels like he can go, I would go with them, and I would actually stick to, you know, 15 carries, because obviously Mattson can do stuff here. This is, you know, it's a different style, but it's fresh and he could grind his way too. And obviously we saw that long run that was supposed to, you know, he did make a nice little juke. He doesn't have the breakaway speed, but I would go with Cook if he felt pretty good. Only because of the reasons I said, otherwise I hear what you're saying. I think we're going to put it together enough because we're just due for it. And this is our, third road game of the year. Our other two were heartbreakers. So I'm going Vikings to get the dub, 23-20. I think that we'll just get – a lot of times when you go back-to-back weeks, like on offense the way we have, I think we're going to take a little bit more chances in the second half just because. Just be like, fuck it, let's pass here, or, you know, whatever. So I'm going Vikings 23-20, but – to me, you know, I don't really care. It's a prediction, but that's with Cook in play. I'm not totally – it's kind of crazy. We have two wins, and both of them are without Cook. But, you know, being that we assume McCaffrey's going to at least be on back and with a pitch count at least, they may do it just – it is a hamstring too, so maybe they'll be careful too. But I'm going, long story short, Vikings 23-20 on the road. They finally kind of come together and get an actual road game victory.
I like it. It makes sense to me. I want to say win too, but I'm going to go with a loss just because it just seems to me like there's something, it's just not quite there yet. But let's talk a little bit of Sky Uma, I guess, is where we're at now. And coming off a bye, I managed to catch PJ's news conference this afternoon, and they had a little bit on Trey Potts. They're still not telling you what his injury is.
It was like half the thing, you know. It was like, yeah, why don't we talk about Nebraska? It's a tough game because Potts is done for the year. He's obviously got something really bad.
Yeah, and that's what I was just trying to guess what that was. And we speculated a little bit, but they're really keeping it close to the vest. So it's got to be something pretty serious. He's out for the year. They're not sure if it's a career-ending thing, but it sounded like it was more of an out-for-the-year type of thing. And so now you're down to a couple freshmen. You've got Bryce Williams, you've got Cam Wiley, you've got Bucky, and you've got Kai Thomas. And whoever wins out of that, Fleck did say that it would be more of a committee thing. But I think committee means you go with a hot hand usually, right? You try a few guys and whoever's got the most juice.
Yeah, you try them all, right.
And so, you know, and Nebraska's playing a lot better this year. we always kind of run into this when we hit the Nebraska game, Chris. We're always kind of like, we don't know what to do with it because Nebraska's kind of, you know, they're up and down. And, you know, you think they're better than they are sometimes, and sometimes they're worse than you think they are. And it just kind of year by year, it's not the same, but they've played pretty well this season. So I think it'll be a test. I think it's good that you're at home, but you know, it's hard to tell with the Gopher team as well. I mean, you dropped a bad game there, but other than that, you've played pretty well this season. You've got a good offensive line. I don't think they're as great as everybody says they are, but they're good enough. And you're second in the West right now. So it's, you know, and Iowa's kicking butt. So it's just hard to tell what you're going to get out of the running back position. I think defensively, the rotation's working fine. You know, Wally's taking his freshman lumps, but I think he's playing pretty well. Defense has kind of come back a little bit more. I think they're a little slow at linebacker, but they are rotating guys in. And the defensive line was really great against Purdue with a lot of different faces. Number 99 stuck out to me, Carter. And so it seems like there's a lot of good things here. It's just like, I don't, my only real question mark is I don't know what to think of Nebraska.
They're definitely better than they were in the last few years. That's a given. I mean, Michigan needed all that whole game to just sneak by them. They were leading late in that game. They went to overtime with Michigan State. And lost. They needed Michigan State needed a punt return, I believe it was, and they almost beat Oklahoma, which they're not that great this year, and they're probably now going to have a new quarterback because of what he did in that Texas game. College football was just nuts on Saturday, by the way. I mean, but anyway, they've played a tougher schedule than us. They're 3-4. We're 3-2. We obviously, you know, their losses: Oklahoma, Michigan, and Michigan State. Those are all unbeaten teams. So, and we're literally 3.5-point underdog at home. So you're looking at like 6 points there. So, you know, one thing that's going to be interesting is, okay, we're supposed to have all three wide receivers back. Let's use them then. We need to use the wide receivers more this game. Otherwise, we're not going to win the game. I think you're right about Potts originally kind of like some sort of, you know, inner thing, like a spleen or something major that happens in football and other sports, but especially football, where something inside got messed up, you know, whether he bruised a kidney or, you know, this is all speculation, but that is usually what some kind of major, like, dude, we got to go to the hospital right now. And then you stay here for a handful of days or whatever it was. So hopefully he recovers just in general, whether he plays or not, that, you know, it is what it is, but that sucks, man, because he, in four games, he had 550. You know what I mean? This guy was on pace for like a 1200, 1300 yard season. It does suck there, but Bryce Williams, by the way, is an experienced guy. 2 years ago, he had that big game against Wisconsin, or maybe 3 years ago now. He's actually been around a little bit, so I do think that they'll go with him a little bit too. But I'm with you on the committee. But as far as them winning, you know, it is a pick 'em, and it kind of feels like into the Colorado game, by the time we got there, it was all of a sudden we were the underdog, and we responded. And so this is, man, it looks great. What the hell do we see? Well, we got a little mixture of that at Purdue, but that was in a monsoon. So I'm actually going to pick the Gophers because I think that, you know, let's pass the ball 20 times. You know, I mean, sure, if you're up 17-3 sometime in the third quarter, well, then we talk about Zimmer being too conservative. Well, then with our offensive line that way, yeah, then you run the shit out of the ball. It's also college football too. But this is a tough matchup, you know, and we were talking about, you know, at Colorado, let's see how that goes. Purdue as well. At home, yeah, that's great. But, man, this is going to be a tough one. If we don't throw that ball probably 20-plus times, we'll probably lose this game. But I just feel like the Gophers are going to kind of put it all together. And here I am picking two underdog matchups for Minnesota football. Boy, that doesn't – I wouldn't, you know, take this to the bank here, take it to the window. But, yeah, I'm picking the Gophers to win. I think they're going to put it all together. Usually it's been our defense that's been an issue. Right? That's right now not the issue. But, man, they could put up some points Nebraska too. I mean, they're averaging 32 points a game. It's a different game, but I kind of feel like they're going to rise to the occasion and get it done, even if it is a field goal at the end.
I'm with you. I think the Gophers win too, and I think they will throw the ball a little bit more. I think having all the receivers back is the key. I think you didn't have a lot to throw to in the previous games either. You know, Ottman Bell was out, or Dalen Wright was out, or both of them were out, or Danny Jackson's, you know, banged up a little bit. But if you have all three of them, I think, and you can send them out there together, I think that really leads to the short passing game and a long passing game. And I think they kind of broke out a little bit. I think Ottman Bell is sort of the key to the long passing game. And if he's there and healthy and ready to play, I think you're going to see more of that. I don't think you see a lot of it. I think they're going to try to run the ball. But Nebraska, you know, they're not great against the pass. Historically, they might be this year, but you know, they haven't historically, and by historically, I mean like the last 4 or 5 years. I like the Gophers here too at home. Weather will be a thing. I didn't see the forecast. If it's rainy again, then I really like the Gophers. But if it's, you know, a good clear day or night, I don't know if the game's at night or day, but if it's good weather, I still like them. I still like the Gophers.
59 is the high.
I feel like they can lean on them a little bit with the defensive line or the offensive line. I like the way the defensive line is playing, like I mentioned earlier. I like the Gophers too. It is probably right to be a pick 'em though. You've really talked me into Nebraska. I didn't realize that they had lost to all unbeaten teams. I didn't put that together. And Michigan's good. They beat the crap out of Wisconsin. So, you know, I don't – boy, it's tough. But I'm going to lean Gophers on this one as well. Probably both teams in the 20s. I'd say 28-21, something like that. I think last team with the ball wins. And, you know, defensively, this will be a test because, yeah, we think we're better on defense. Well, I guess we're going to find out. They've got, you know, a good quarterback. They've got good skill position players. We'll see how fast we are. We'll see how good we are. But I like the Gophers in this one as well.
And I feel like although Morgan's not the athlete that Michigan can, because they have two quarterbacks that play a little bit, they can run better. But they don't stand out beyond Morgan either. So, you know, but Martinez does have a lot of experience, like you said, for
Yeah, he's been there forever. He's been there for 6 years.
Well, it's funny because they've had two Martinez's.
Oh.
That was the thing. They've actually – he's been here forever, don't get me wrong, but they had a Martinez before him too. So it feels like it's about, you know, 7 years, 9 years, you know, especially with COVID thrown in there. So right. I'm wondering if he's got a brother or if they're just going to be like, hey, we need to look for another Martinez on quarterback. Yeah. This dude's going to be a senior here and, you know, he's going to get out of here soon. So, but anyway, any last words before we wrap this thing up, sir?
Well, I hope I'm wrong with the Vikings. I hope they win, get to 3-3. And it's essentially a new season at the bye, you know, 3-3. I think we'd all be pretty satisfied with 3-3 coming out of the bye and a chance to, I mean, your schedule sucks. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, you know, brighter days ahead, but at least you've got 500 going on. And that can't help but hurt or but help. So I don't – it's – you can't read this squad at all, and that's the real problem with trying to predict anything. But let's just hope that they get the win against Carolina.
There we go. We'll be back next Monday. Enjoy the games. Peace.